for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday evening service of July the 5th, 1996, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chuck Worth is the speaker for the evening.
Brother Chuck Worth is from Bella Vista. He's been here before, and we've been up to his house a couple of times and taught to his prayer group or house group. And you're going to need your Bible and your pen and pencil because he teaches. And sometimes he doesn't find a stopping place. So I said something to Kyle, and he said, "Well, you mean more than an hour and a half?" I said, "Well, I think that'll do for tonight." So anyway, Brother Chuck and Dee, we appreciate them and love them. And Tommy goes and ministers up at their place, and Bill once in a while, too. And they have a sweet fellowship, and they're awful sweet people. Brother Chuck.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. Thank you, Paul. Now I am. Amen. I just asked my wife to stand.
Yes.
This is my helpmate. She's the love of my life. She's the mother of my three children and the grandmother of my seven grandchildren. And, she's my partner, and I love her. Okay.
Amen.
I'd just like to introduce some folks from Bella Vista, their elders in our fellowship. We have a home fellowship, and we just love the Lord, and we're trying to not see the kingdom, but enter the kingdom. And Phil and Marion Beckman, and Larry and Ellen Sanders, and we're supposed to have some more here, but I don't think they made it yet, but maybe tomorrow. How many of you know that the Bible talks about stiff-necked and uncircumcised ears? Did you know that? Turn with me to Acts. And this is, I'm just introducing here, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Acts chapter 7, it's going to read verse 48 through 51. "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? And where is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you." Father, I just thank you for your word. And Father, our purpose is to build a people because the people, they are the house. And Father, we didn't come to see a man or to hear a man. But Father, we've come to see and to hear you.
Yes.
And Father, I just ask you by your Spirit to speak through me the things that you've laid on my heart, as Father, we labor to build your house.
Yes.
Father, your word says, except God build the house, they that labor in vain. And Father, we see much laboring in vain going on in your body. But Father, we're not of them that labor in vain, because we labor by the Spirit, and your house is a spiritual house. And they that come to you must worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we just ask you to bless this word to the heart of these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Matthew 13, if you would. And of course, we all know that Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower. I want verse 51. And Brother Kyle asked me if I needed more than one tape, and I told him no, I probably wouldn't finish, but I'd quit. Okay. And Jesus saith unto them, this is Matthew 13, verse 51, Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? Now, he'd just been explaining the parables ahead of this, and parables are the hidden things of God. Parables are the mysteries of God. Okay? And Jesus had been explaining them, and he asked them, do you understand? And they said, yea, Lord. Do y'all believe they understood? Then saith he unto them, therefore every scribe... Now, I'd rather insert every teacher, which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. I just tell you that John the Baptist came preaching, repent. And repentance is a turn of 180 degrees. And if you're going straight towards hell, he's going to turn you around, turn you straight towards heaven. That's repentance, okay? And he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, if the kingdom of God is at hand, that means it's within your grasp, but you must take it. You must seize it. There is a scripture in Thessalonians that says we're caught up to meet God in the air, that a lot of doctrine has been made over. And that terminology in the original means to seize for oneself. And you must seize the kingdom of God. Now it goes on to say, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. I consider myself a householder.
Yes.
I am over a house of God, okay? Which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and things old. Now the body of Christ does not readily receive things new. And it talks about the wine, the old wine and the new wine. And Jesus speaking said, for they say that the old wine is better. I'm here to tell you that the old wine is not better. But the problem is the new wine must be put into a new wineskin. So tonight, I feel that my purpose is to help you have a new wineskin so new wine can be poured in. Now, I'm going to talk and teach concerning the 12 gates into the city tonight.
Oh, hallelujah.
Now, I might get one. I don't know. I hope we get all of them or at least several. And turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 22. I'm going to be in Revelation 21. But I want to start with Revelation 22. Verse 14. Revelation 22, verse 14. And it says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through what? The gates into the city. Now, the only method of getting into the city is through the gates. And there's 12 of them, and we're going to look at them. But I'll just tell you that, and we're going to see as we look at some scripture, that a gate is a place or a seat of judgment. A seat of judgment. Now, you all know that the scripture says, if you'll judge yourself, you'll not be judged. Now, I'll tell you that judgment requires you to give of your flesh. Now, I want to turn to Psalms 127-1, and I think I just quoted it. But in case I didn't, I need to turn there, okay? And I did. And this is the scripture that says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. I want to go into that a little bit. Our labor to build his house is really to search out the promises, because Peter says, by the receiving of the promises, we obtain his divine nature. It's by the promises that we obtain his divine nature. So our labor is to... And how many of you know that the promises in the Word of God are hid? It says that it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. So the laborers of the building the house is to set the house in order, because this house is built from the inside out, not from the outside in. Okay, so we have got to set within this house the statutes, the commandments, the laws, the testimonies, And those sort of the judgments, those sort of things that must be in the inner man, which is the interior of the house. And as we do that, God will build the house. But he's gonna clothe us because we have set in order the things of the inner man. He's gonna clothe us with his righteousness from heaven. Are y'all with me? Okay. Now I want to go to Ezekiel 43. And Brother Glenn, I'm standing behind these mics more than I thought I would, but we'll see. Ezekiel 43, and I'm going to start with verse 10 and read through verse 12. And what I propose to do through the 12 gates into the city is show you how little we have prepared the house for God to dwell in. I mean, we get saved and we don't even understand salvation. And then we get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we think we've arrived, and we've gone through the first two gates, and there are 10 gates left. And we'll see that. Verse 10, Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. Let them measure the pattern. Now, James talks about looking into a mirror and seeing what manner of man we are. And I've heard a lot of teaching on that. But the manner of man we are, that word is the Genesis face. And we were created in the image and the likeness of God. And when we look into the mirror, we're to see the image and the likeness of God. And it says, straightway, that man goeth and forget what he saw. We're not to forget what we saw in the mirror. Measure the pattern, and if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof and the goings out thereof and the comings in thereof and all the forms thereof and all the ordinances thereof. And all the forms thereof and all the laws thereof, and write in their sight that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinance thereof, and what?
Do them.
Now this is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain. Now everybody wants to get to the top of the mountain, but they don't want to be obedient to what's required at the top of the mountain. And in the book of Ezekiel, God was upset and spoke through the prophet Ezekiel and said, they have not made a separation between my holy and the profane. And that is the outer court and the holy place in the tabernacle of Moses. And they had polluted it. And the tabernacle of God, the holy place of God today, is polluted. And God is going to drive the pollution out of the holy place. And that's in a people. This is the form on the top of the mountain. The whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Now, it's a lesser law as you go down the mountain. I just want to paint a picture for you. This mountain is called Mount Zion. And at the bottom of Mount Zion is all of Israel. And how many know all of Israel can come into the profane place or the common place? It's called the outer court. On the side of the mountain, halfway up the mountain, there is a city called Jerusalem. It is what today should be the church. It's to be the holy place. But if you want to go up to be in the kingdom of God, to the most holy place, to be seated on the throne with God, you have got to go to the top of the mountain. And this is the law at the top of the mountain. You understand that? Okay. Turn with me to Galatians 4. I'm going to show you two cities. Because we're going to talk about a city tonight. I'm going to show you the two cities in Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 19. Paul writing said, My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now, Colossians says Christ in you is the hope of glory. But he goes on to say that we are to become perfected in Christ. Christ in you is the seed planted, but the seed matured is when we become in Christed. There's a big difference between being in Christ and having Christ in you. At the top of the mountain, you are in Christed, okay? Now I want to drop down to verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he that was
But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the what? The flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Now, which things are an allegory, for they are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai, that's where the law was given, Horeb, in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is. Now, the church really is worshiping a Jerusalem that now is in the natural, in which Tel Aviv sits. That Jerusalem is in bondage. And that is not the Jerusalem which is above, which is free. Verse 26. But Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. This is speaking of a spiritual Jerusalem. It's a heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now, they warned me about it. It is always the woman of grace in the Scripture which is barren. We know Sarah was barren. Rebecca was barren. Rachel was barren. The other woman always has many children. See, it really doesn't matter how many children you have. It's have the children that you have reached the top of the mountain. Verse 28, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. So I'm showing you two cities. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. And I'm going to show you the spiritual city. And then we're going to look at the gates into the city. Verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. This is the New Jerusalem. This is the Jerusalem which is above, which is the mother of us all. It's a spiritual Jerusalem, okay? Coming down from God out of heaven, and she is prepared as a bride, and she is adorned for her husband. Yes. Now, that prepared and adorned means internally and externally she has been prepared. And as I said, it says to work out your salvation. The salvation that is within you must come forth to the exterior, to where we receive a new body. Verse 3. But I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with who?
Men.
And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So this city that's to be built in Jerusalem is a spiritual city and its people. We understand that. Okay, I want to drop down to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And look what John had to do. And he carried me away. How? It's the only way you can see the New Jerusalem. It's the only way you can see the bride. It's by the Spirit. To a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. Now, this Jerusalem is coming down to the earth. A lot of people going up to heaven. I'm telling you, heaven is coming to the earth. Amen. And it's going to be brought to the earth by a people. Verse 11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high. How many know the wall is the wall of salvation? Keep your finger there. Turn with me to Isaiah 26, just real quick, or real slow, however. Isaiah 26, you need to understand the wall of the city, because it's salvation that has the gates into it, and it's only by the gates that salvation is going to be brought forth in a people. Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. Judah is a type of the first fruits of the overcomer. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Verse 2. Open ye the gates,
yes,
that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. And then it goes on to say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, and that's part of the kingdom. I want to go to Isaiah. chapter, I believe it's 60, verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Okay? I'm back in Revelation 21. Verse 12. And this city had a wall great and high and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels. Now, the word in the original is angelos, and it means a messenger. And there's a messenger at each gate. What do you suppose he had? A message. Okay? And he's even given us a title of each message. And he says, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, just for your information, and I'm not going into it, but verse 21 of Revelation 21. And the 12 gates were 12 what? Do you know anything about a pearl? A pearl is formed when a foreign substance comes into it, and then by agitation, the pearl is brought to being. Okay? Yes. That's right. And it polishes it while it's formed. Okay. Then it goes on to say here, and every several gate was of one pearl. And you need to notice that it's the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. And there's only one street in the city. There's not many streets. The Shulamite in the Song of Solomon went out looking for her, for the prince, King Solomon, in the streets and the broadways. And she couldn't find him. He's not in the streets of the city. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. He's not in the broad ways because the broad way becomes a narrow way when you go into him, okay? Now, turn with me just a little bit more on gates, and then we're going to get into to what I really want to teach. Turn with me to Proverbs 31. It's about the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verse 23. And this is speaking of the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman here is the New Jerusalem. It's the overcomer, however you want to call it. The virtuous woman, her husband is known where? In the gates where he does what? He sits among who? The elders. Elders. Now, the elders really are the rulers of the land. And he sits in the gate as a judge. And that happened in the natural. Those that had complaints, they brought their complaints to the elder sitting in the gate, and he judged their complaint, and either the Thummim or the Urim, whether it was light or whether it was right, and that's how they judged. I want to look at Psalms 24, verse 9. Psalms 24, verse 9. And I'm going to show you the real gates into the city here. I'm going to go back up to verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, that's the Lord of armies. He is the King of glory. Now, what this is saying, in case you missed it, is that you are to build the walls of salvation, and then you become the gates. You're the gates. Now, one of the gates is judgment. And I'm going to talk to you about judgment when we come to the gate, and that's the gate of Dan. So I won't go into that. The church as a whole has been told it's wrong to judge. I tell you, it's poor judgment not to judge. Okay. If you've got some kind of a marker, will you mark in your Bible Genesis 29 and 30? And then will you mark Genesis 49? And then will you mark Deuteronomy 33? Okay. Mark Genesis 49. The most important is Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33, because these are the prophecies over these tribes, and they're going to speak to us in abundance, I hope. And right now I'm in Genesis 29:30, and I'm not going back to Genesis 29:30. I'm just going to show you that in Genesis 29:30, it talks about the 12 sons of Jacob, the rulers of the tribes, and it'll tell you what each name means in Genesis 29 and 30, and that's the basis for the teaching, okay? And I'm just going to start in Genesis 29, verse 32. Well, let me tell you about the women. There's four women that bore Jacob's sons. And out of the four women, Leah, and Leah means faint, tired, and weary. And she is a type, and do y'all understand types and shadows? Do y'all understand that? Is there anybody that doesn't understand? You need to understand types and shadows. Is there anybody that doesn't understand types and shadows? Okay, keep your fingers there. Turn with me to Hebrews. And I'll do this very briefly. Our brother talked about the... let me get this right. He's got it written in his folder, I know. The New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. The Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. And so what I'm doing is by the gates of the city, I'm going to reveal what's going on in the Old Testament. Okay? That's the purpose. Okay, let's go to 8. Is it 8? Hebrews 8. Let's start. Yeah, that's a good place to start. Hebrews chapter 8. And I'm going to be very brief. I don't know if I can be brief. Verse 2. It says, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. See, we're talking about the true tabernacle, and the true tabernacle is a spiritual tabernacle. The true tabernacle is you. Now, the body of Christ as a whole, how many of you know there are three major feasts? There is a feast of Passover, which most denominations keep. Jesus is our Passover lamb. There is a separate feast. It's 50 days later. It's a new meal offering, if you study it out. And that is the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost. That has to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And both of these, the Feast of Passover is the first gate, and the Feast of Pentecost is the second gate as we get to them. But there is a third feast, which very few except us, and I hope you keep it, and that's the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? Because tabernacles is where God comes to dwell in His people. And the people haven't been taught that, hey, God is coming to dwell in you. And we're going to see that, okay? Hebrews 8:1. True tabernacle. I want to drop down to verse 5. And they serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. Types and shadows, okay? I'll tell you that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also a type of you. Benjamin is a type of you, the overcomer, and those are the last two gates, okay? So these are a shadow of heavenly things. And turn over to chapter 9, and I'm going to verse 8. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. But it's saying the first tabernacle is a figure of the time then present in which they were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. How many of you know the law cannot make you perfect? Okay. Jesus says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And the brother talked about not being under the law. Well, you're not. But without the law, you would not have known sin. So you're not under the law once you're perfect. Is anybody here perfect? Then you're under the law. But once we are perfect, listen, the old covenant is going to fade away because it can't make you perfect. But without it, you can't be made perfect because you don't know the law. And therefore, you don't know sin. So that's why we're still under the law and studying the law and learning the Old Testament. Okay, let me go up to verse 23, verse 21. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood both the tabernacles and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavenlies. So see, everything that happened, turn with me to Corinthians. And that really helps you a lot, but I don't know which one. I believe it's second. I believe it's second. But I'm probably... Let's try one. Well, I'm still here, though you folks on the tape. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe I won't show you that. The Bible says, thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Well, let me back up because I always like to get murmuring in here. Back up to verse 6. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now, these things which happened to them were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Well, let me back way up. Let me go way back. Verse 1. Brethren, I would not that ye should be what?
Ignorant.
How many know God does not want us ignorant of spiritual things, okay? Verse 3 says, they did all eat the same. What kind of meat? Spiritual meat. They did all drink what? Spiritual drink. And they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Did you know that the rock way back then was Christ? Now see, that's an example, that's a type and shadow. But I want verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and what happened to them? They were destroyed of the destroyer. How many of you know that the destroyer likes those that murmur? Okay, because you make an opening for the devil. I'm serious. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. You know what admonition means? Instruction. Upon whom the ends of the world or the age are come. So, folks, what he's really saying is it happened to them. So there could be a people at the day of the Lord are going to be prepared to receive the kingdom of God. And they're our example, and that's why we go into the Old Testament to look and to study. Y'all with me? Shake your head if you're with me, okay? Okay. I want to go back to these women. I'm going back into Genesis. Leah is a type of the law. Does that help you with types and shadows? It's just old things are types and shadows of new things. Okay. Leah is faint, tired, and weary, and that is the law. Now, there's two concubines, one of Leah and one of Rachel. Now, how many know a concubine is after the flesh? God didn't ordain them. And Zilpah in this teaching means it's a trickling of myrrh. You know what myrrh refers to? Death. Now, I know there's a good side to myrrh, but not in Zilpah's case. The other concubine is the name Bilhah, and it means trouble, and it means fear. And that's important as we come to them. And I'll get to Rachel when we get to her, okay? So I'm in Genesis 29, verse 32. And this is Leah, and she conceived, and she bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, I'm just going right in to Reuben. And Reuben is the first gate into the city. And Reuben really means, if you go into the original language, it means to behold a son. It means to have vision. It means to learn, to discern. It means to see. So, beholding a son is salvation. How many of you know that? You got to behold the son for salvation. Now, I'm going to show you threefold things in salvation real quick. Salvation is spirit, soul, and body. Now, I'm not going to turn to it, but I'm going to give you the scripture. You can write it down. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And when you receive the word of God, the seed that is planted, 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. It's a planting of a seed. The spirit, once you've accepted Christ, you are assured of spiritual salvation. The second part is the soul. James says, receive with meekness. James 1, I think it's about verse 18, says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Psalms 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Romans 12:2 says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Now, and that's called two different things. In the Old Testament, it's nephesh. In the New Testament, it's a psuche. And that is different from the spirit. The spirit is, and I forgot, pneuma, the spirit. That, thank you, brother. The spirit is the pneuma. And if you look up pneuma in the original, it means to be, it means the belly, it means the spirit, it means the inner man, it means the heart of man. And it's not a natural, it's not the natural heart. It's something, it's God within man. And he can go wherever he wants. Okay, then the last thing that's going to be saved is the body. Okay, how's the body going to be saved? Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to say verse 17. If that's not it, look, it's in 6. It says, if your eye be single, or single means clear. If your eye is single, your whole body's full of light. And that's what's going to cause transformation, is when we have a singleness of an eye. And that's not a natural eye. Ephesians 1:18 talks about the eye of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling and the glory of His inheritance in you, in the saints. And that really is salvation in a nutshell. Now I'm going to tell you that I'm just giving an overview of the 12 gates. Because you can take any one of these gates and you could teach forever. Okay? Okay, now I want to go to Genesis 49. That was one place where your finger was, right? Genesis 49. Oh, you can lose everything except Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33 now. You sound just like my people, man. I don't have any more fingers. That's right, all right. It makes me feel at home. Verse 3 of Genesis 49. Reuben, thou... Now, really listen to this. Thou art my firstborn. Listen to what's in Reuben. This is just salvation, okay? Genesis 49, verse 3. It says, my might, he's the beginning of strength. He's the excellency of dignity. And the excellency of power. Now, all of that is in the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ when you accept the Word into your heart. All it has to do is grow and blossom and become fruit that the world can see. That's the seed of a king right there. But now listen to this. But Reuben, you are unstable as what? Ever see a new babe in Christ? Ever see some old babes in Christ? You ever see some people that think they're mature in Christ? Unstable. You know what? It tells me a lot about a person when I see they're unstable in Christ. Unstable in the things of the Lord. They're just unstable in most things. And it tells me they haven't gone through enough gates. Nothing wrong with them. Just need to go through a few more gates. Remember, James says, a double-minded man is unstable as water. Ever carry a full bucket of water, try to run with it? It's unstable. And then it goes on to say, thou shalt not excel. That means to come over. And if you turn around, it really means be an overcomer. You're not going to excel. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 33, verse 6. But listen to this. Even though it's just a seed and he's unstable, Reuben, let Reuben live and not die. There's no spiritual death in Reuben. Once that seed is planted, there's no spiritual death. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. Now, I'll tell you right now, Reuben is outer court, and there it's all of Israel. Not his men be few. It's as Reuben is as the dust of the earth and the sand of the sea. I mean, Abraham's seed is threefold. It's also as the stars of heaven. And we're going to get to that when we get to gate 11 and 12. Okay? Okay. Now, I'm not going back to Genesis 29. You all can if you want to. But the next gate, and it's verse 33, is Simeon. And Simeon means to hear with obedience. It means to publish. It means to understand. It means to have power. Now, you know what the hardest thing to overcome in a person that can't hear is? It's a hard heart. You know what makes a hard heart? Unbelief, but it's also the tradition of man. Now, I'm not going into all that. You can search it out. But if you think you know everything in the Bible, well, to start with, you're a fool. But you don't know God. Man, the more of God you know, the bigger He gets and the less you know.
Amen.
That's the truth. It'll bring you to your knees and make you weep and say, God, can I ever know You? Gate one is likened unto Jesus Christ. God gave two gifts to man. He gave His Son and He gave His Spirit. And these are the first two gates. Having hearing, John chapter 16, Jesus said, it's expedient that I leave. And if I leave, I will not leave you comfortless. And He goes on to say, I will come to you. And He does in the Spirit of the Son that is within you. It talks about it in Galatians. Okay? And so gate two is a gate of the Holy Spirit. And turn with me to Genesis 49. If I can find, I'm in Deuteronomy. No wonder. No, I didn't. Right. Verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren. The next two gates, they're brethren. And we'll see why. Now listen to this. Now listen, Simeon means the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But hear what it says about them. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. That means the word in their mouth they use as a sword to kill and to cut and to maim. Ever see anybody like that? How many know the sword is to be used to cut out the sores so they can be healed and you can become whole? The word is supposed to heal. O my soul, verse 6, come thou not into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united, for in their assembly they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Those type of people, even though they're spirit-filled, they're not spirit-filled, even though they have the Spirit, threefold things of the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit, you're sealed by the Spirit, and eventually we'll have the fullness of the Spirit. We don't. But they dig down a wall. That's that wall of salvation. Every time somebody sins, oh, you've backslid. You need to be saved again. You know, what does that do to a person's salvation? All they need to do is be taught in the things of the Lord. You can't expect a babe. How many of you ever see a baby do everything right? They spill stuff. They make messes. They need to be taught the word of the Lord. After they're taught and they do wrong, then they need to be corrected. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I'll divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. And that's enough. Now, I would go to Deuteronomy 33, but Simeon is not in there. And if you can't hear, you'll not make the next level. You must hear by the Spirit. There is no prophecy for Simeon in Deuteronomy 33. Now, I want to go on to Levi. Oh, let me back up just a minute. I want to tell you about the stones in each of these gates, very briefly. In the first gate, Reuben, the stone is an emerald, and it means to glisten and to shine forth. And so the purpose of the sun is for him to shine through you and to glisten through you. Okay. The second stone is the sapphire. Simeon is the sapphire. And it means to scribe. It means to be a writer. It means a penknife. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to write upon you the word of the Lord. And you can't. And He can't do that if you can't hear. So only by hearing can you be inscribed with the word of the Lord. Next gate is Levi. Levi means join. Levi, back in Genesis 29, is verse 34. It means to be joined. It means to cleave. It means to abide. To adhere, to stick. This is like a man and woman in marriage. And it's taken so lightly today. But they're to be stuck like glue. I've seen some women I wouldn't want to be stuck to. But I'll bet they've seen some men they don't want to be stuck to. But when the two are one in the Lord, see, I hear people say, I've fallen out of love. Well, you've fallen out of relationship with God because God is love. And if there's problem in your marriage, it's problem in your relationship with God.
Amen.
Okay? And if you have a right relationship with God,
You'll have a right relationship with your mate and with man. That's free. I didn't have that in my notes. It means to give. It means to be a joint of supply to the body. Now, the reason Simeon and Levi are brothers is so for the purpose of... See, Levi is a priestly tribe. And Levi means to minister. But it means to minister by the Spirit. If you don't minister by the Spirit, you're not ministering life. It means to be vertically joined to God so we can be horizontally joined to others and minister life to others. Now you can't minister to others something you don't have.
Right.
Ministry means to give. And if you don't have it, you can't give it. And I had no desire to be a pastor, but I've learned a lot since I became a pastor. And I learned that there's a lot of answers I don't have and I can't give. So what do? Well, we go to the Word and we try to find answers. And in Levi in Genesis 49, it's the same as Simeon, the cruelty. But turn with me to Deuteronomy 33, and Levi has a wonderful prophecy. Verse 8, and Levi means to be joined, okay? Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with the Holy One. And that just means, and you can ask some of these other pastors to explain that Thummim and that Urim to you. One means light, the other means right, and that's about all I know about it. It was in the high priest, okay? It says, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massa. Massa means temptation. How many of you know that temptations come your way to prove you? The divine nature is as gold refined by fire. And if there's no refining, it's not His nature. I mean, know that Jesus grew, and I don't know what all of them was, but within one of them was knowledge and favor with God and man. Jesus was tested. And with whom didst thou strive at the waters of Meribah? And Meribah means strife and contention. And he said to his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew he his own children. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt off sacrifice upon the altar. Now, whole burnt offering is, the offerings are in five parts, and the burnt offering is the best offering. It's where the whole flesh is burnt up. You start with a sin and trespass, and they're mandatory. And you must have the sin and trespass offering. But there are three more that are voluntary. And there is the peace offering and the meal offering and the burnt offering. And that's up to you. But He wants you to become a totally burnt offering. In Romans 12, verse 1, right before it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it says, make your body a living sacrifice. And that means to kill it while you're still alive. Now I mean that spiritually. Don't anybody go out and shoot themselves. But that means the things of the flesh, you deny yourself and you take up your cross and follow Him. Right? Bless the Lord, His substance, and accept the work of His hands. His ministry is going to be acceptable. Levi's ministry. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him. There's going to be protection. And of them that hate him, that they rise not again. Now, how many of you know, keep your finger there and turn with me to Proverbs. How many of you know that the wicked are going to be removed from the earth? I just need to make sure everybody understands that. Turn with me to Proverbs. Help me, Lord. 10, thank you, Lord. That's great, hon. Thank you. Okay, I'm going there. Yeah. Proverbs 10, verse 30. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. And then back to the one to Proverbs 2, verse 21. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. When there are two grinding at the wheel, one's left, one's taken. It's not the righteous taken, it's the wicked. And that's key to understanding the Word of God. There's much of that. You can go to Revelation 5, and He's made us kings and priests unto God in Revelation 5, and we shall rule in the earth. See, the earth is part of the kingdom of God. See, heaven's my throne, the earth is my footstool. And the Bible talks about putting the enemy under your feet. You know where the feet go? On the footstool. Right? Okay. There is no stone in Levi because he inherits the land. Okay. I'm going on to gate 4. Gate 4 is Judah. That's in Genesis 29:35. Judah, we all know, means praise. Judah, you could talk about forever. It also means to give thanks. It means to confess. It means to cast out. It means to cast out. How many of you know that praise casts out the enemy?
Yes.
Now, if I had time, I'd go into to Revelation 18 about the fall of Babylon and everything that is not in her because the waters of the river have been diverted and they no longer flow through her. But in the very next, in chapter 19, it's hallelujah, praise the Lord. And it's praise that causes Babylon to fall. Okay, Judah is a first fruits company. Are you familiar with the first fruits company? Anybody that isn't familiar with the first fruits? Y'all understand that? Shake your head or not? Yes? Okay, I don't have to go there then. Okay, there are four types of praise and worship in the Bible. Now, I'm just going to name them. Oh, let me tell you where they are so you can look them up and study them. The first type of worship is ignorant. Now, there's an excuse for ignorant worship. I didn't know how to worship. Didn't know. By the way, you know where the word worship is first mentioned? It's mentioned when Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain. He said, the lad and I are going up to worship. And worship really means sacrifice. Sacrifice. How many of you know that every time you sacrifice the flesh to do the things of the Spirit, that's true worship? And that pleases the Father. That pleases the Father. Okay, ignorant worship is in Acts 17:23. The next kind is vain worship, and that's worse than ignorant. Because you know better, but it's emptiness. There's nothing there to it. Vain worship is found in, vain worship is Matthew 15, verse 8. Then in Colossians 2:23, there's will worship. And that's where we all are now. And I don't condemn will worship. Somebody needs to teach the people of God how to worship. Because I don't know how. I need taught. But this is a leadership type worship. How many of you know that the tribe of Judah is going to lead the army of Israel into battle? But true worship, and we all know what it is, it's John 4:23, true worship, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now what that really means, it means worship Him by understanding the Word by the Spirit. And when you do, you'll make a sacrifice of your flesh to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Right? Okay. Okay, Genesis 49. Judah's got a lot of stuff. Judah, thou art him whom thy brethren shall praise. The brethren, how many of your brethren praise you? I don't have many brethren praise me. I don't even have many natural brothers praise me. In fact, they're uncomfortable being around me. They're afraid I might say something. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. That sounds like Joseph, and he is real popular with his brothers, if you remember. Now listen, that bow down, that does not please you. That does not please you. Joseph went in the back room and wept when his brothers came and bowed down to him. But it was a weeping of joy that finally they had come to see the light. really what they came for is there's a famine in the land, and they came for food. And that's what's going to happen to the church system as a whole. There's a famine in the church, and they're going to say, hey, have you found any place where you can get any food? And there's going to be a people say, yeah, you know, I heard of someplace. They're going to come. Okay. Judah is a lion's whelp. Here's the three stages of a lion. He's a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. Grew up from a baby, from a whelp. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Leave him alone. Don't rouse those old lions. Okay, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. The scepter has to do with rulership. Rulership is a type of the first fruits company, and rulership is going to be given to the overcomer. We understand that, right? We understand that. The first fruits are talked about in Revelation 14, 1 through 5. The man child, and I know you've had many teachings on that in Revelation 12. And it says, until Shiloh comes. Shiloh means rest. It also means to whom it is preserved. Yes. Now, there is one coming whom the scepter is reserved for. I'm not going to get through this, so I'm just going to take some time. I'm just going to read this again. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Now I'm going to turn the page. And it says, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now this is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, the first part of the Feast of Tabernacles is the blowing of the trumpets. And I'm blowing a trumpet tonight if you can hear it. And then the second part is the afflicting of the soul. The afflicting of the soul. And hopefully that trumpet is telling you, hey, you need to afflict your soul. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. That moment is the smallest divisible element. It can be divided no lower than a moment in the original. In Hebrews 12, it talks about the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit. And there's going to come a time in our walk as we're building the wall and as the time of God draws near onto a people, that sword in Hebrews 12 is going to hit the moment, the thing that can't be divided, and it's going to divide it into soul and spirit, and there's going to be a change in the twinkling of an eye in man. But now it's not a man that has not been prepared and adorned. Don't think that you can sit in the church without studying to show yourself approved and that God's going to change you. His bride is without spot and wrinkle. It says that they that come to Him, come to God, must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them who do what? Diligently seek Him. Okay, I'm going on verse 11. This is still in Judah. Judah is only the fourth gate. Great. Binding his foal unto the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus said, I'm the vine. You're the branch, right? And his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. And his eyes shall be red with milk. Now, okay, his eyes shall be red with wine. I knew what was coming, see? And his teeth white with milk. Okay. Turn with me to Isaiah. Keep your finger there. I'm going back. But Isaiah 63, verse 1. Isaiah 63, 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments? That means Edom is a type of Esau. How many of you know that Esau is a type of the world, and that's where we start? We're of the world. But then until the Lord comes into our heart. Okay? He cometh from Edom, but his dyed garments from Bozrah. That means a sheepfold. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of mine redeemed is come. And this is where he's speaking of Judah as a first fruits company. See, it's very difficult for me to separate the head from the body. Now, I know that many teachers separate the head and the body. But turn with me and let me just go into Luke chapter 13. See, Jesus is not complete. How many know Jesus has been over right now? I'm going to show you that. And the reason he's been over is because his body has been over. His head is complete. The work is finished of the head, but not of the body. And it talks about it here in Luke, verse 49, Luke 12, verse 49. Jesus is speaking, and he says, how many of you know that John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 says, I baptize with water, but one comes after me that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And we've always lumped I've always heard the Holy Spirit and fire lumped together. I'm telling you, they're separate. And you'll not be baptized in fire without the Holy Spirit. And you'll not be baptized in the Holy Spirit without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the new birth. I am come to send fire on the earth. This is yours in red. Jesus speaking. And what will I, if it be already kindled? I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am who? Jesus saying, how am I straitened till it be accomplished? And what he's talking about, if you go right over to chapter 13, verse 11. And behold, there was a woman, which is the church, had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, that's 666. And she was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. She's bowed over, all she can see is the things of the earth. And if all you can see is the things of the earth, and you go in to spy out the promised land, you're going to see some giants. And you're going to be as a grasshopper, and there's going to be giants in the land. But if you're not bowed over and you're seated in the heavenlies looking down at the earth, guess who the grasshopper is going to be? It's not you, right? There was a woman with a spirit of infirmity 18 years. She was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made what? Now, I'm telling you that Jesus is looking for a body of people that will go out and lay hands on the church. Hands speak of ministry. To minister to those bowed over. And when you do it, verse 14, you're going to upset the rulers of the synagogues. I'll guarantee you. Okay, turn with me to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33, and I'm just going to start with verse 7. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. How many of you know you're going to be brought to your people? You're going to go back into the house where you were birthed. And I've had, and what's that speaking of? I have been birthed out of Pentecostal holiness. I've been birthed out of the Baptists. I've been birthed out of the Assembly of Gods. And I've had many births. But they all had a part to do in what I am today. Okay? And the church, the denominations are your mother. And you need to honor your mother. You need to pray for your mother. And then you need to go lay hands on her, if she'll permit it. But there'll come a time when she will. How do I know? Because the Bible says there will. Because they're going to come gathering into you. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou a help to him from his enemies. That means the ministry that God supplies Judah is going to be enough. It's going to be sufficient for what God has called him to do. How much time I got over there, Brother Kyle? Fifth, good, great. We'll do another. The stone of Judah is the sardis, and it means naturally to be rubbed or dyed red. We know that takes the blood of the Lamb. It's in the wine vat. It's in the wine press. Now, Judah's the only one in the wine press. Judah's in there alone. Nobody wants to get into the wine press. How many know you get messy in the wine press? Oh, there's so much on Judah. I'm going on to the next gate is Zebulun. And Zebulun means to be a habitation. A habitation. Now, listen. Make sure we understand that each gate is an entrance into the city. And each gate is an experience that you must experience in your life. And you must be obedient to do that experience. You got to behold the Son. You got to be able to hear by the Spirit. You need to be a minister by the Spirit. And you need to be able to praise and worship the Lord. And now you're... And once those four gates are entered into, then now we're going to come into Zebulun, which is a habitation of God by the Spirit. Hold there and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's hard to do in some denominations. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God. How? Through the Spirit. How many know that God is looking for a people to come and dwell in? He's crying for a people that'll be obedient, that He can come and dwell in. And that He can make them an epistle written on the heart, written and read of all men. How many know that God wants you to be the Word and you're going to be read of all men? How many know there are going to be books opened in heaven? Now, I know the natural mind says that's a natural book. My Bible says the natural man cannot understand the things of God because they're foolishness to him. Those aren't natural books. Those are spiritual books. Those are you. You that have the Word of God written by the Spirit within you. And you're going to be opened. Open means you become unveiled. An open book is an unveiled book. No longer is the veil over your eyes. And you can see clearly right into the throne room. How many of you know we can't see clearly into the throne room right now? It's as a lattice work it talks about in the Song of Solomon. And now you see Him and now you don't. And boy, that happens to me a lot when I'm studying. And when I really need Him, I say, Lord, where'd you go? I don't understand this. But you know, He always comes back. As a matter of fact, He never leaves. It's just you can't see Him. There's something in your way. And it's your flesh. Okay. It means a habitation. It means to be exalted. It means honor. In this gate, the mode goes from I, me, and mine to the body of Christ. Yeah. This is a hard gate, folks. I know the Bible says that you're to prefer your brother above yourself. That's easy to say, right? How many know the Bible says to know no man after the flesh, no longer even know Christ after the flesh. We're to know everybody by the Spirit. We're to look into the heart and see the intent of the heart and judge a man by the intent of the heart, not by what you see. Boy, I'll be glad when that day comes. Amen. Amen. Okay, Genesis 49, verse 13. And we'll finish up Zebulun and we'll close. And we'll get the rest of these another time. It says, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Now, if you notice that you got to dwell at the haven of the sea before you can become a haven of the sea. How many of you know you need to dwell with spiritual ministry before you go out and become spiritual ministry? Amen. What's a ship? A ship is something that transverses the sea. It's easy, right? What's the sea? People. And you're carrying cargo from people to people. And you're a haven. You're a refuge for those of the sea. That's the sand of the sea people. And his border is unto Zidon. Zidon, if you take it back to the original, it means to be hunting. And it's really to be hunting for fish. And that's what this ship is out there doing. Looking for fishermen. Fishermen, okay? Deuteronomy 33. And this is Zebulun. Oh, Zebulun is short. And Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. Now, this going out means with purpose to deliver. 33:18, to go out with purpose to deliver. He's prepared in times of storm and tempest for others, and he's looking for sinking ships. And there are a lot of them out there. The stone is a carbuncle, and the carbuncle means lightning. It means an arrowhead. It means brilliant. It means to be a glittering sword. That means a sword of light to the word, to the world. How are we doing? Y'all want more? My wife says no. Let's do one real quick, dear. This will be a short one. Issachar means higher. It means reward. It means wages. It means benefit. What it really means is you have passed through this gate. You can not be bought by man. There's not enough money to stray you from the course that God has planted you in. And God says, I'll make you your forehead like a flint, that when you go to minister to people, the eyes of the people will not bother your forehead. They'll not change your mind. That's a good gate. Once you see the prize at the end of the journey, be no problem. You can't be bought. Can't be bought. Okay. It means reward, wages, benefit, not a hireling. And the reason that is because we've already been bought with a price. Our passage is paid to where we're going. Go with me to Genesis 49. Issachar, and excuse the terminology, but he's a strong ass. And an ass is a burden bearer. He's couching down between two burdens. When I studied this, I thought of my brother and sister Miller. And that means not only does he have the burden of the spiritual, but he has the burden of the natural. And there's a burden in this place to carry. And they do it well. He saw that rest was good and the land that it was pleasant. And he bowed his shoulder to bear. And he became a servant unto tribute. That means it was not forced labor. He's a willing vessel, willing servant. Okay. And then Deuteronomy 33:18. Issachar, in thy tents. I'm going to back up to Zebulun because they kind of go together. It's Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. One goes out and one stays in. But you got to go through both gates. You got to be able to go out. You got to be able to stay in. Okay? Glenn stays in. Goes out once in a while. I stay in. I go out once in a while. They shall call the people unto the mountain. Those that can't be bought will call you to the top of the mountain. The trumpet will blast and say, come up hither. Come up to the things of the Spirit. And they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. For they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures hid in the sand. Now, how many of you know that there are treasures hid in earthen vessels? And they're looking for them. Did I do Genesis? The stone of Issachar is the topaz. Boy, this is a good stone. When you can't be bought, listen to what happens. The stone that's placed in your breastplate is a topaz. It means stamped gold. Stamped gold. Now I'm just going to say briefly, and I'm not going into it, but there's a lot of people worried about the mark of the beast. I'm telling you, you don't need to worry about the mark of the beast. You got it, buddy. You need to worry about getting stamped with gold. And you have to worry about the mark of the beast. Our concern should be over getting rid of the mark of the beast. The beast in Noah's Ark were kept on the first floor. Now, there's three heavens. Paul said he was caught. Maybe not Paul. I think it was Paul. But anyway, in Corinthians, someone was caught up, whether in the body or out of the body, to the third heaven. If there's a third heaven there, how do you know it was the third one if there wasn't a second and a first? And all that means, The dust of the earth is the first heaven, the sand of the sea is the second, and the stars of heaven are the third. So, this topaz is stamped gold. It means then you become a building stone, and you also become a stumbling stone. Now don't worry when you become a stumbling stone, because Jesus said that it's not you they're stumbling over, it's me. Father, I just thank you for your word.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I thank you that we have entrance into the city. And Father, I thank you that you've opened your word by the Spirit and given us a peek, a revelation into the throne room of God. And Father, I thank you that this people has eyes to see and ears to hear. And blessed is their eyes and blessed is their ears. And Father, that they'll be good soil, and that what has been planted tonight will take root. And that, Father, they'll be diligent and they'll water it. And that, Father, it'll bring fruit of righteousness in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.